This is the Stop Bending Over podcast, and no, this isn't a podcast about your lower back pain. This is a place for women to come together, work their shit out, get unstuck, love themselves completely, and live life the way you've always wanted. You want a better business, more income, and a kick-ass relationship? Well, you're in the right place, ladies. Buckle up. No more codependency. It's time to level your life up. I'm your host, Rita Marie Mendez, and this is the Stop Bending Over podcast. Align your life for radical success. Welcome back to the Stop Bending Over podcast, Align Your Life for Radical Success. I'm your host, Rita Marie Mendez. Today's episode is going to focus on setting intentions, manifestation, and receiving. So all three of those together, you know, setting intentions and receiving are how we manifest. Those are pieces in the manifestation process. So when it comes to receiving, especially for women, what I find in coaching so many women, and especially even in the two groups that I'm coaching right now, my new groups that started, what I see is the capacity to receive is so low. It's just, I wouldn't say it's shocking. I'm not shocked anymore. It's just unfortunate. It's unfortunate. And the reality is, what I love about what I do and what my mission is on this planet, transformation of consciousness, is reflecting back to people their wholeness, their completeness, their divinity, and who they really are. Remembering, I get to remind them, re-mind them, who they really are. And that is that we are all here as pure potentiality. We're all here to receive whatever it is that we wish, whatever it is that we want to experience, and our capacity to receive is very human, very human. And so today's episode is really, I'm going to be talking about our capacity to receive and setting intentions, really planting seeds in your field of possibility so that you can, then the result is the manifestation, the what do I want to see in the physical 3D reality. So, you know, all the things that the mind tells you about what's not possible, I don't want to do that, that's crazy, that'll never happen for me. Well, all those are stories that aren't true. And so questioning your beliefs, right? I think I put an Instagram post out last week that said, your job is to be conscious about when you go unconscious. So pay attention to when you go to fucking sleep. Pay attention. So the sleep part means I'm going to sleep with my money. And so I have energy leaks around my money. I overspend, or I don't track, or I think I'm making more than I actually make. That is very, very common for women entrepreneurs, that they think they make more than they actually make. And so I'm going to just take a little aside right here on this one piece about when it comes to manifesting money, because I love to manifest money. It's not hard. It's not hard. We make it hard. Stories make it hard. The mind makes it hard. And what I notice is we did in our exercise this week in the group, we do a breakthrough goal. That's how I kind of my claim to fame in my groups. One of my first group courses, I coached quite a few years before then and then started doing group coaching because I could see that I could help a lot more people. And you grow exponentially when you're coach in a group because you get the energy, the learnings, the healings, the processing of other people as well as your own. And you get to see, oh, I'm not alone. Oh, I feel shame around that too. Oh, it's not true. Oh, maybe it's not true about me. Yeah. Guess what? It's not fucking true about you. You are divinely beautiful. The shame is an external. Shame is not, shame is, this is my own personal take on shame. So I'm not a psychologist. Yeah, I have a master's in spiritual psychology, but I don't have a PhD in psychology. I've said that before. And here's my take on it. You don't have to have a fucking PhD to know people. They might know all the things that they know, but I'm with people every single day. And what I see about shame and what I've learned in releasing my own shame, being, you know, really abused as a kid, having gone through a lot of trauma, myself, my sister, and my two brothers, in a very abusive household, that was so much shame, but I didn't know that. I was unconscious. You're a kid. How do we know? We don't know. We don't know until we know. We're unconscious about our unconsciousness until we become conscious of our patterns. We start working with them. And so mine was a huge amount of shame. And the shame was that it was easy for other people. So that's part of our conversation today. It was easy for other people, not for me, because there was something inherently wrong with me. I didn't say that to other people. I just knew that was a truth about me. So do you see that shame thread? Because when a child goes through traumatic experiences, and we all have trauma to some degree as humans, it's just, we do it, friends, bullies, guardians, parents, you know, teachers. And so what I realized in going through starting this work, I think I started in like 1998, doing this work for myself to start healing and releasing all the anger that I had, which is very common. It's very common to have a lot of anger. And was that shame? We're not born with it. We're not born with it. We're divine. We come in as this little beautiful baby. We aren't born with shame. Someone deposits shame into our physical body temple. Someone deposits it. They take their shame that someone gave them to them, and they deposit it into you. And now you're carrying someone else's shit. You're carrying someone else's shame. Maybe this episode should just be about shame. Kind of turning out that way. And what happens is it's given in the presence of another human. And my own take on it, it has to be released in the presence of other humans, because it's hiding. It hides. It lurks in the dark. I know my purpose on this planet. And when I got the download of how I got here and why I came to Earth and was born, is that I am the light in the darkness. So I got to experience darkness for many, many decades before I saw the light. Not only I saw the light, that I realized I am the light. Wow, that was an amazing discovery. I am the light. Someone told me a couple of weeks ago, they'd been binge listening to my podcast. And I was like, wow, I love it. Thank you. It feels like you're talking just to me. And I am. I'm talking just to you. I am your personal one-on-one coach right now in this moment. It's just me and you. If you're in your head, you're just in your headphones, you're doing the dishes, you're driving your car, you're cleaning the house, you're at work, right? You're driving somewhere and just don't want to listen to music. Maybe you want to have some uplifting content. I mean, some of mine, is it uplifting? I don't know. You guys got to tell me. The funny parts are probably uplifting. When I get on a little roll though, you know, I get fiery. So going back to that shame, releasing it in the presence of another human. And when I first did that with Debbie Forge, who was one of my very early mentors, I'll never forget that moment when I said out loud what had happened to me. And here's what happened. I said out loud, because we were in these, anyway, there's trios and duos when you do certain transformational work. We were in a duo, just one-on-one, two partners. And it was one person is the facilitator, the coach, and the other person is the client. And this is how I got so good at fucking coaching before I ever, ever, ever thought about being a coach, was because I did it every single week for about 12 years before I ever even coached another human, because I had been coaching people in these kinds of seminars and workshops with some really amazing facilitators and coaches and teachers and mentors. So here's the thing, is just being with someone, you're coaching them, just being with them. Please don't tell people what to do. They don't fucking do it anyway, because you don't know more about their life than they do. The truth is, we don't give advice. We can just hear, we can reflect back. Hey, this is what I heard. Is this accurate? That's all we were instructed to do. You don't tell any people, you don't tell them what to do. So go back. I'm in this seminar and we were to share something. And mine was about this abuse when I was young, and it went on for years, specifically with my father. And so when I said it, I almost threw up, because I kept saying, I can't do it. Meaning there was so much shame, because I didn't want people to know what, because I felt like it was my problem. I didn't know what I felt. I just knew it was bad. I was bad for having it happen to me. Now think about what I just said. I was bad for having it happen to me. How in the fuck is that possible? But that's the mind trying to protect a child, right? That's the shame that comes in. And the mind trying to protect the child by compartmentalizing and putting things in spots that you don't remember everything. And so then the child is making things mean something about them all the time. And now you've got an adult depositing their shame into this child. So of course the mind's going to, it's very confusing. So my thought and my belief, which was inaccurate, it was a misunderstanding, was that I had something bad happen to me, so I was bad. There was something wrong with me, of course. Why would God forsake me like this? That was my conversation with God forever. Like, you basically fucked me, but I would still always have this conversation with him. So when it was time for me to share what had happened, I couldn't do it. I was kind of like, I mean, when I think back, it's not funny, but I'm laughing because it was so theatrical. God, I'm so dramatic. I love that part about me. I'll tell you one thing. If you're ever around me, I'm not boring. I could say that. I almost was like dry heat. Well, I was like dry heaving because I was trying to hold it in. Do you get that? I was trying to hold something in that was so ready to be fucking released. But my ego and the part of me that was trying to hold on to the shame as a secret, I didn't want to be vulnerable. I didn't want anyone to know that I wasn't perfect. I had the perfect body, perfect little house, perfect BMW, right? Because I'm trying to cover up shame, trying to cover, throw dirt over that shit. And I buried something, and then I buried the fucking shovel that I buried it with, and I threw dirt over everything and then planted some flowers on it like, oh, look at me, right? That's what we all do when we don't want people to know our shit. Our shit is what sets us free when we say, I'm ready to be free. So that day, one of the facilitators, right, when you do a seminar like that with that many people, there was probably 100 people, you have assistants, and usually they go through your program, like Jack Canfield. When I mentored with him, he had assistants that had already been through the program, so they could come over and help us as we worked through our stuff and learned all his concepts. And so a facilitator come over because they could see I was like having this moment. And the girl across from me, this is what I won't forget. She just sat and stared at me. And then at one point, the facilitator came, knelt down next to me and was asking me a few questions and was urging me like, you could do this, Rita. You could. So kind, so loving. And the girl across from me got up and ran away. Swear. That's why I probably won't ever forget it. And I just sat there. So now I'm by myself. The facilitator had left, right, the assistant. And she got up and ran away. And I just sat there. And I think, you know, my memory of it was that it needed to happen that way because it brought some, how do I say it? It brought some levity almost like, what the fuck is happening? Where did she go? So it snapped, right? It's like changing state. So when I want someone to change state, whether they're in person or on a call with me, I will use a very specific way of speaking. That is why sometimes I'll say, stop fucking doing that. When I do that, the way I use, I don't walk around every day saying fuck. I just don't. It's not what I do. But somehow I turn into Sasha Fierce. That's Beyonce's stage, her stage persona when she gets on, because I'm so adamant about making sure I'm breaking people's state. And Tony Robbins does this. I never knew that's what I was doing. It just came very naturally to put a pattern interrupt in people. And what it does is it changes the state, the focus, the feelings, and the body, what we're feeling, how the body is, whether it's slumped or open or tense because I'm having this moment, I'm hyperventilating, I'm going to throw up. That's what me. And when she got up and left, I almost chuckled like, what the fuck? And then it started to dawn on me, I got this. There was a calming. It was like a presence of the ocean. That's what happened. There was this calm that came over me that not only could I say it, I wanted to share it. It was such a different moment. So God gave me this moment of peace. And then she showed back up and she sat down and said, okay, you know, go ahead. And when I went and the facilitator came back and knelt down behind next to me. And I thought, oh God, now I kind of felt like I was on. And now I got nervous again. And I started kind of crying, saying, I can't do it. I just kept saying, I can't do it. And then I said it out loud and I started fucking laughing. And I realized it wasn't a laugh like a laugh of a cover up. Some people laugh when they get nervous. I do not laugh when I get nervous. I get like super, when I get nervous, I get hyper focused. That's why I'm good in chaos. So if I get any kind of anxiety, I focus in on something and then I just go. I don't think about it because I might be afraid. So I just said it and then I laughed from the release of it. And in the moment that I started laughing, I realized like, oh my God, literally, oh my God, thank you. That was so much easier than I thought. I'm trying to describe the feeling because it's such a memory that lives in my body of the first time that anyone ever, quote unquote, knew about this abuse. And it was such a freedom. Then it's not like I ran around shouting it from the rooftops, but I realized something that day and I got so much freedom from it. When I left from that weekend, I felt like a different fucking human. I was a different human. I energetically lost so much weight. My face brightened. I looked joyful, connected, fulfilled because I got to release something that wasn't mine. It was never fucking mine. And so when we're going to roll all the way back, because this is such a great conversation about shame. Shame is an external process given to you by someone wagging their finger at you. You should have known better. You should. Why didn't you? You should. That's what shame does. That's what it does. It tells you, you basically didn't do something right. So what is the pretense behind someone saying you didn't do something right? What is it? Think about it, ladies. What is that? Ladies and gents, whoever's listening, what is the pretense behind someone saying you didn't do it right? You fucking did it wrong. You're wrong. Wrong. You wrong. Bzz. Canceled. Right? That's how it goes. Not true. Then what happens is it gets deposited into the body temple. And then when we go to move out, we leave the house of horrors or just your house or whatever the house is. When you leave that place, whether you had a great childhood, mediocre, okay, or abusive, it doesn't matter. When you go to leave, there's a shame stick sitting by the front door. There's a shame stick. People have been using it on you since you got there. Kids, parents, friends, aunties, you should lose weight. You know how many times I heard people say that to my cousin? It was horrible. I was as scrawny as a little nugget. I was a tiny little nugget. We were the same age and she was probably, I saw a picture of us. I think we're six, probably we're five. It looks like I'm three and she's eight. She's so tall. And I looked like I was a toddler. I think I was in kindergarten. And so we're the same age and she's just a completely different body type than me. We grew up as sisters in our house. She's my cousin. And she was shamed all the time about her size and her weight. It killed me. I would cry every time they would do it to her. And so what happens is they do that to you. And then you go to move out and you leave. You put your backpack on with all your crap in it, with all your stuff, all the stuff they gave you generationally, all your baggage. You put it in your backpack. You walk out the front door and you're like, you leave and you're on your way. You're either saying, fuck off, or see you later, love ya. But all of a sudden you're halfway down the walk and then you turn around. You're like, oh shit, I forgot something. Let me go back and get it. And you run back and you open the front door and you grab the shame stick and you put it in your backpack and you say toodaloo and you leave and you use it on yourself for the rest of your life until you wake up. So yeah, I guess this episode really is about shame, which we are going to circle back to the manifesting. But do you see this right here? This is the foundation underneath the capacity to receive, because when you're full of shame, the capacity to receive is very low. So before I ever became conscious, before I ever went to a seminar, I made $1 million because I decided to do so. How did I do it? I just kept stepping in, being curious. I never said, I can't do that. Everyone else did. I don't know why. It was a challenge and I wanted to do it. And so I just set out to just be open and curious, totally with beginner's mind, Buddhist beginner's mind. And no matter what anyone said, which was some really shaming crap, I was just like, it didn't land. I wasn't available for their frequency of limitation because there was something inside of me that wanted to meet that challenge so bad. I don't know why. It was because, well, the compelling reason why was that when I made $1 million, it would solve all my money problems. We made so much fucking money. It was insane how much, when I think back, what we made about probably $350, $300 a year every year. This is early 90s. That's probably the equivalent of at least six figures now, at least, if not more. And spent every penny because my holding frequency with money was zero. I didn't know that. Unconscious, right? I was just an amazing manifester, and I still am. So I, you know, make this $1 million, not because I listened to why it wouldn't work, but because I was open and curious and I was residing at the frequency. I tuned my station. My radio station was tuned to, this is happening. And everyone that was tuned to that station to fulfill my desire, we were all tuned in to FM, whatever, FM 1910, FM 800. I don't think there is an 800 on FM. That's probably AM. So we're all tuned to that. I didn't know who they were. They were already in my field of potentiality because I had planted the seed. So I guess this episode is still about potentiality, capacity to receive, shame, and manifesting. Let's just add shame and it's four things. So I had planted the seed of my intention. That's how we start. We plant the seed of intention in the field, in your garden. Go plant your seeds. Say, be specific. This. Not I want. This is my intention. It's so strong. Everything starts with intention. Pure potentiality. Your matrix, your field of potentiality is yours alone. Like I've said before, it's not going to look like anyone else. It's not supposed to. It's your field. So I planted that seed and I watered it. I nurtured it. I gave it plant food. I gave it intention food. By never, ever doing, I don't know how to, I'm going to do it. Not for a person like me. I don't know. I'm not good with money. That won't happen. That's hard. Oh, it only happens to other people. No, I never did that. Ever. And that's why it had to show up. It cannot not show up. Cannot not. I think I've said that before too. That's not right. That's double negative. So it has to show up because it's a frequency match to me. That's how 3D printing works. Before the words 3D printing, before there was ever a 3D printer, I would always say physical world reality mirrors my internal reality. So my internal reality was all about that. So when you plant your seed right now, I want you to think of three things that you have such high intention for that you've wanted that maybe up until now, you haven't been able to create for yourself. So I want you to think about that. So question number one for today's podcast, because I'm coaching you specifically right now. Think of one thing, just think of it. You don't even have to write it down if you don't want to. One thing that despite your best efforts, you haven't been able to accomplish. What is that? One thing that you have not been able to accomplish up until now, despite your best efforts. Now hold that. Everyone knows what that is. We all have that. Hold that. And then I want to ask you the next question. And you'll know the answer instantly. It will be in the body temple. It will come as an awareness. It'll pop right in. Why hasn't that happened? Why? And your answer will reveal your answer will reveal the, how do I say it? Will reveal the part of you. This is, I get really stuck here because I don't know how to phrase it in a way that, well, I'll say this. Your answer is going to reveal what it is that you need to do next. And is it come from a shame place? Does it come from, lives in the body? It's external, but it lives in the body. It has everything to do with your capacity to receive. It'll hold you back from being seen and heard, making calls, doing sales presentations, talking to clients, cold calls, warm calls. I'm a coach, so I do launches and I invite people into my world in so many different ways. And a lot of coaches, they see their numbers coming in for, let's say, a 5-day challenge or a webinar, and they get really nervous if it's one or two or five. And do you know what I say when I coach coaches like that? I don't care if zero people show up. You give it as if it's whoever's in front of you, and it can just be the camera. You give it with all of your passion, with everything that you've got. You could still use that. But what happens is when you do that, you're tuning into the frequency of your intention, which is being out there in the world. Let's just pretend that you're a coach or any woman, any entrepreneur. When you're out there doing your thing and one person shows up or zero people show up, you still hold your workshop. You still hold your sales calls. You still role play your script with someone else. You still door knock because you're tuning your radio to the frequency that matches your intention. So that's why we don't stop. We just keep moving forward with aligned action. When something doesn't work, you question what doesn't work. You see what works. You test and you keep moving forward. That's what I did that year. So when you ask, when you answer the question, why hasn't it happened? What's been going on? It's shame will hold you back. The capacity to receive will, if it's when it's small, what happens is you don't step in. So whatever it is that you said you haven't accomplished, I guarantee you, I haven't heard one yet, maybe, I'm sure, in the world of possibility, it's possible that there's someone, there's something that someone really wants that I have a hard time saying impossible because it's just not in my vernacular. I don't use that phrase because I don't really believe it, because most of the time, well, here's what I'll say. When I have a seed of intention, my seed of intention is never to be a linebacker for the 49ers. Sad face about the 49ers Super Bowl. I'm a Niner fan and a Rams fan. Sad face. I should have a whole episode about that and how I was still upset the next day. I can give you all my opinions about why we did not win that game. Okay, going backwards. So I'm never going to plant a seed of intention for me to be a linebacker, a front, you know, a lineman for the 49ers because I'm 5'6" and I'm a pretty tiny lady. It's not going to work. I'm going to get pummeled. No one's going to, do you see what I mean? So the seeds of intention that we have is because if I can dream it, if I want it, it's meant for me. And if it's meant for me, it's meant to be as long as I step in. So remember that when it's meant for you, it's meant to be. So you can say that what's meant for me is meant to be. And the way that something is meant for me is when an intention, an idea pops in, I'm going to go plant it and I'm going to water it and I'm going to nurture it and I'm going to fertilize it. And I'm going to tune my radio to the frequency of that seed of intention. What happens is that there's shame underneath that for the capacity to receive. So let's say someone shows up. So go back to the $1 million. It was 887,000. That's what it was at the end of the year. And then 2 years later, bankrupt. How in the world is that fucking possible? Because my holding frequency was zero. I outran my identity. I was not, my capacity to receive it was high at the time because my intention was being watered and nurtured. And there was no capacity and holding frequency to hold or to get lessons around money or how to manage the business. Nothing. I was just all go, masculine, bull in a china shop. I can make things happen, resourceful, gritty, all those things, tenacious, which is great. Those are all superpowers. When we don't have a foundation and a capacity to receive and to hold, what happens is that it falls apart, up and down, inconsistent. So all of this to be said, the manifestation process is that we plant our seed of intention and we also look to the parts of ourself that is are still shaming us about things that we had nothing to do with and that is not ours. And your job, that's why I put it on the post on Instagram, your job is to become conscious of where you go unconscious because where you go unconscious are clues to the parts of you that need that healing, that need the light, that need the work, that need to dive into episodes of podcasts or hop on some YouTube videos, get in a coaching group, get the books that will support you, listen to Audible. For years, all I did was, before podcasts existed, it was online radio and Hay House Radio. It was called Hay House Radio from Louise Hay. They're the publishers of all the top self-development, self-improvement authors, Wayne Dyer, I mean, you name it, Marianne Williamson. So I don't know if she publishes with them anymore, but Louise Hay was the forerunner of all of this work and the way that she's put it out. And so all the different coaches, Wayne Dyer, Debbie Ford, Marianne Williamson, Cheryl Richardson, they all had Alan Cohen, they all had their own radio show on Hay House Radio. And it was free and you could listen to it all day. It was like listening to podcasts, except there, and you could call into the radio show and get coached. You could they would just pick certain people, and I would call in all the time. I got to talk to some amazing coaches at the time just by calling in all the time, and that was just luck of the draw who got chosen. So, but what I was doing was I was reprogramming the supercomputer between my ears to let myself know, to remind. Remember, I say re-hyphen mind, redoing, reprogramming the mind back to its natural state, which the homeostasis is a really regulated nervous system, self-loving, self-care, a very high esteem for myself, confidence, all those things that I didn't have yet because I was born with them. And then they went away with some human conditioning and some human experiences. So that's how we go through life. And when you want your seeds of intention to grow, I'm just going to say this, pretending not to know that you've got shit is just, okay, I said it in my group yesterday, and I've never said, I don't know if I've said it on a podcast episode, probably not, but pretending not to know, I don't call it denial. I call it pretending not to know, because I know something in the back, like I knew about the abuse, and I was pretending not to know it. I was just like, I'm going to go through life and I'm going to pretend that everything's fine and I'm going broke and all this shit, right? And pretending, facade, boop. Wasn't a Pollyanna, but I was in the way I was presenting my life because I wanted people to validate me. I needed people to fucking like me because I felt like there was something wrong with me. I didn't belong. Something's wrong. So now what happens is that when you do that, and when you pretend not to know about what's going on, why you haven't accomplished the thing that you've set out to do despite your best efforts, when you pretend not to know or you put it out there in the external, well, it's because, you know, Bob, he tanked me, he fucked my business up, stole all my money, and my husband or my wife or this happened or my cousin or the economy or Donald Trump or fucking Joe Biden, whoever, we've got somebody to fill in the blank for everything that's quote unquote wrong. So when we do that, we're not taking personal responsibility. There's no accountability in that. When you don't take 100% responsibility, I can tell you right now, you've got blind spots in your life, because when you do, your life instantly fucking changes for the better. So I take personal responsibility 100% for everything in my life, every single thing, all the shit, all the great stuff, all the shit. I'll even take responsibility, not for other people, but when they have a minute with me, which means it's not a good minute, though that comes only from my kids, because they grew up with me at a time where I was very unconscious. I was unprocessed. And I started this work when my daughter was in maybe sixth or seventh grade. My son was 3 years older, younger. And so they had some already imprints of my generational baggage. So sometimes they work that out with me in this right now, this physical fucking world reality, and it's not pleasant. And I see my part in it. I don't pretend like I'm on some mountaintop knowing all the shit, because I'm human. And so I get to be with that part of me that caused an upset unconsciously. And then I get to clean it up inside of myself, work with, heal, release that, self-forgive, then do my self-forgiveness, then come to them and say, hey, please forgive me. I love you. Please forgive me. I love you. I'm sorry. And doing that takes a lot, because most people are not willing to do that, because we're in our fucking wounded ego, because we've got all the shit in the background. We've got the backpack is full, and we've got the shame stick on hold. So when you pretend not to know, what I call that is, it's like, you know, I love ice cream, even though I can't have it because I'm lactose intolerant, which is really annoying. So I imagine, you know, when you go by an ice creamery and that you can smell the waffle cones, oh, it just wants to, well, Salt and Straw now has vegan ice cream. So yum. So I smell that and I want an ice cream. So pretending not to know, when we're doing this and we keep doing it and we keep doing it. And if you're listening to this podcast, there's a part of you that wants to release those things, that wants to be better, that wants to know, hey, how do I do that? How can I get released from this shit that seems to hold me back and these inconsistent results that I have? It's like filling that beautiful waffle cone up with shit and then spraying whipped cream all on top with cherries and nuts and whatever else you like on top of it. And then saying, look, I've got a beautiful ice cream cone. Well, as soon as the crap from the top, the beautiful whipped cream falls off, you've still got a scoop of shit. I know it sounds horrible. I don't know where I came up with that, but I've been saying it for years, at least to just my students. So yesterday when I said it, they were all laughing. I went, okay, this needs to go on the podcast because it's kind of funny. And it's true. We're pretending by carrying around our little ice cream, being us and our facade. And underneath it, it feels like shit. Someone said to me, I went, how do you feel? Like shit. I went, oh, I know that. I know that feeling. We might not all say that, but we know what it feels like to not feel in alignment, to not feel good, to not feel fulfilled. So this part, the shaming, the capacity to receive comes from, this is how we hold ourselves back. So sometimes we get so scared and in our stuff that we don't move forward. So the way through to manifestation is you plant that seed of intention. You notice the stories that are tracking in your head. You notice, oh, wait a minute. I'm saying that again. I'm saying I always or I never or it never works out. So I want you to track the no-fly words are always and never. They're extremely limiting when you're using them against yourself. It always happens to me. I never find a parking spot. No one ever wants to talk to me at a party. My family always tells me I'm wrong until you say I'm not available for that anymore. So here's the thing is I'm not in relationship with people that say certain things to me, treat me a certain way, asking me to be super discounted in my pricing. I'm not the fucking low-cost leader and I'm not Walmart. So my energy doesn't lie. Those are not conversations I have because I'm not available for that. I'm not available for codependent behaviors, codependent relationships, mean people, not available for it. So it doesn't show up in my world. My radio is tuned to a different channel. This is your opportunity to see the areas where you've turned the radio to a channel that doesn't really fit you anymore. These are growing pains. When you are ready to tune it to something else, to tune it to your intentions, I want you to start tracking what are the stories I'm telling about myself, about why this isn't possible, why this can't happen. And then I want you to jot those down. Because those stories aren't true. They're misunderstandings and misbeliefs that you've acquired, that the mind has created as safety, as trying to make the world make meaning in the world, right? The head, our head is literally a meaning-making machine. As humans, we need to make meaning of our world. And so when you start to write those down, I want you to start questioning them. Is that true? Is it true that I never find a parking spot? Yeah, it's true. Really? Then how do you park your car when you go to Nordstrom? How do you park it in the parking garage? Well, I find one, but so it's not true. Well, yeah, but this is what I hear from everyone that I do this with. I go through, is it true? Yes, great. Give me evidence. Well, here's what it 100% of the time, 100 out of 100, it's not true. It's not true. It's a story. And I can work with anyone on the truth and show them that it isn't true. There's no evidence. It's the mind making up a story. And the mind will argue for its own limitations. Your mind will argue for its own limitations. When someone says, yeah, but think about it. Why would anyone say, yeah, but I find one, but it takes me forever. But you said never. You said you never find a parking spot. So you see, first never, because that's the mind, right? It's the wounded ego part of the mind. That's what I call it, the wounded ego part. First, it's the mind. Then the backup is someone's questioning me. So let me find evidence and show you I'm right and you're wrong. Arguing for its own limitations. Why would anyone want to argue for your own limitations? Because we don't know we're doing it. It's unconscious. That's why I'm going to go back to, I want you to be very conscious about where you go to sleep, where you go unconscious. I want you to notice, where are you arguing for your own limitations? Well, when I make sales calls, people hang up on me. Everybody hangs up on you? Yep. That's what one girl said. I went, everyone? Wow. I've never had that happen. I've made a lot of conversation calls in my checkup calls and add value calls in my lifetime. And every single person hangs up on you? Yep. No. Of course not. But that is a way to protect myself from not stepping in because it's actually harder to be half in, half out. Fucking commit. When you commit 100%, everything gets easier. Will you win? I don't know. Will you get everything you want? I don't know. But it's going to feel a lot better because now the world opens up. Providence moves. You've changed your frequency. Things will show up. This is how it works. So half in, half out, with the arguing for the limitations, telling myself I might as well even try, I never win, all that stuff, it's actually harder to live like that. Trust me, it's so much harder. And it's hard on the emotional body. There's spiritual, physical, emotional, and behavioral bodies that we have. It's hard on all those bodies. It's really hard on us when we do that to ourselves. To set yourself free, to live a life of freedom in your field of pure potentiality, it takes a few things. Is it work? Fuck yeah, it's work. This is work. It's so easy to be unconscious. I will never choose that again. I didn't know I was unconscious about my unconsciousness. Most people are, until they start getting a glimpse. And then what will happen is a lot of people will get a glimpse, but they may not be ready yet to step into this kind of work to transform all the different bodies, right? Because the body keeps the score. So the body, when I say the physical body, the body temple, actually holds in our DNA trauma and experiences. That's a real thing. That's proven. It's a book, literally. The body keeps the score. And so as we release things, we do somatic releases, which is the body temple, breath work, different modalities of releasing from the body temple, dance. And as we release, what happens is our world opens up. So as you step in and you get scared and you have support, you're like, oh, hey, you got it. Hey, that facilitator kneeling down next to me. You could do this, Rita. You could do that. Kind of support is priceless. It's priceless. Get in a group. Be with like-minded people. Get in a community. Get in a church group. Whatever it takes. Not a church group that's shaming you. Fuck that. Do not do that. Oh, look, I just told you what to do. Stop it. Because shaming can come from a lot of different places. And so your job is to be really, really on track with what you're exposing yourself to, right? What you're listening to, what you're reading, who you're in conversation with. Because I can tell you, the friends that I had then, they aren't my friends anymore, and they haven't been for decades because it didn't work for me anymore. I couldn't be around those kind of people anymore. Was that painful? Yes, very painful, because it was like, who am I without this identity of the bitching and complaining about things that didn't work for me, and that people were this way and people were that way? Now I had to change everything, my language. It's like, what do I do with my hands? I didn't know how to be. But what I did know was I felt so much fucking better, and my life was working out better, and I felt more connected to me. I felt more confident. And so automatically things started working out because my confidence and my esteem went up for myself. This is what's possible for you, because it's how we develop. It's who we are as these divine beings, having our human earth school curriculum happen for us, not to us, but for us. Someone said to me, well, I want them to know that what he did to me, I said, no, what? Let's go back. What did you say? Well, what he did to me. I said, well, okay. When you say what he did to me, that means something's happening to you. But this is actually a challenge. That's such a huge opportunity for you to grow into a benefit for you of how you get to show up in conversation with other people. Game changer for her. Game changer. She did a fucking 180 on the call. Right there, that simple piece changed everything for her. She got a lesson that is priceless. Literally, she'll never think of those words inside of herself. You did something to me again the same way. She will know, because we don't forget. So I want you to remember who you are. Remember to remember who you are, the divine being having this human earth school curriculum experience, and that you have a wealth of wisdom, of knowledge, of insight to create anything that you want in your life, anything. And we're going to do our steps. We're going to plant a seed of intention. We're going to nurture and grow. We're going to see where we go unconscious, right? You're going to ask yourself that question. What is it? Why haven't I accomplished that? It's not to shame or judge yourself. Just look to see what the mind comes up with. Then I want you to question it. Is that true? Is it true that I can't do it? Is it true it's harder for me? Well, yeah, my mom this and my dad. No. Is it true? No, the answer is no, it's not true. So even if you say yes, I want you to question the yes. I want you to question the evidence that the mind comes up with to argue for its own limitations. And as you're doing all these steps, I want you to notice that you over here, well, I've got a finger up. You can't see it if you're listening to this. And the other you, which is the mind, which isn't actually you, it just lives in your head. So I don't even know if it lives in your head. It just lives in energy. But there's a you observing the other mind, observing the mind. You just did something. You went 4D. You're observing the mind. You're not, because you're not the mind. You can observe it. And then, I mean, I go 11D when I go into breath work. So you can go each dimension farther and farther back until you become so neutral, observing you and having compassion for what you're putting yourself through. That is cool. You get to notice where you go to sleep. You get to notice the patterns. You get to notice what you really want and how you've been holding yourself back. Not why, how. Oh, wow, I really think I don't deserve that car, that house, that money, that guy or girl. So one of my clients who is very wealthy and lives, you know, however, you know, she lives a very nice life and had lived in their home for like, I don't know, 10, 11, 14 years. And they went to buy a new house, her and her husband. And the house that they chose was, I mean, stunning, on the water, gorgeous. I mean, game changer, a 180 from where they had been living all those years. Could they afford it? Absolutely, easily. And she said that she sat out front and said that she was so uncomfortable to even say that it was hers. They were going through the process of buying the house, that she told her husband, okay, I'll live here, but if I don't like it, we're moving in a year. Because she said she was so uncomfortable with the thought of her being that woman who would live in a house like that. Gorgeous, stunning estate. And so I coached her through that, and now I get to go there. It's pretty great. So do you see is that it took a moment for her, took a minute for her radio to get tuned to that frequency. It was tuned there. And then when it happened, when it was ready to happen, ready to show up, I've seen people sabotage themselves right at the last minute because they're like, oh, I pull back. I don't know. Maybe it's too much. Maybe you have to work hard. Maybe you have to be somebody else. No, it's just your ceilings now become your new floor. And that takes a minute. You're just going to let your body adjust. You're going to let your nervous system get regulated to this new way of being. It's okay. So this is you supporting yourself. And so those are the steps. That's the capacity to receive. That's the shame part. These are all the parts, right? And then going to planting our seeds of intention and then having it turn out. That seed of intention is going to show up in the manifestation part of the 3D world. These are part of how we manifest. So everyone's like, how? These are also the hows. And you want to be tender with yourself and kind and patient, but not waiting. Because when we're waiting energy has a whole thing. What else are we waiting for? What can I do while I'm waiting to move this forward if there truly is a period of waiting? And so I just want you to notice all these things and ask yourself these questions. And then I want you to come back to this that we started off the episode with three seeds of intention. Plant them in your garden. Go into a meditation. I'll have one come out in the next couple of weeks that you can grab. About planting seeds of intention in your garden and then really going to that place and watering it and nurturing it and getting with like-minded people and getting support and being your own coach and support system and also having those people in your life that support you that are just amazing sisters or brothers in the world that want to be and do and have the similar things that you do, just expansion and growth and connection and fulfillment. You deserve that. You deserve everything that you want to create. I love you guys. I love doing these episodes. I've taken a week or so off because I'm moving into my house that I manifested in 2 weeks on my vision board. So I should have probably added on there everyone to pack my entire house, which I could have done, but I really needed to clean some stuff out. That's our next episode. We're going to talk about cleaning out incompletes. So this is me to you saying have a beautiful day. As always, if you love the show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. And you want to find anything that I've mentioned in the show note, if you want any find any resources that I've mentioned today on the episode, it'll always be in the show notes. And I will see you, hear you, talk to you next week. Be blessed, beautiful.
Thanks so much for joining me today. And remember, any links or websites that are mentioned in the show will always be in the show notes of each episode. And if we haven't connected yet, please come over and find me on Instagram at Rita Marie Mendez and send me a DM. Let me know what you thought of this episode. Tell me a little bit about yourself and ask me questions. I love questions. I'm here to support you in your growth and expansion. Thanks for tuning in. And if you love the show, follow, subscribe, and go ahead and give it a rating and review. 5 stars, of course. Till next time, beautiful ones. Be blessed.